You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. You will be getting a pair of tickets to see Rod Stewart out at Merriweather. Congrats. You're winning tickets to the One Last Time Tour, Saturday, July 19th at Merriweather Post Pavilion. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events. These have been a hot commodity all week, so congrats to whoever wins them right now. Let's get to our Beltway Blitz. We'll be covering the Nats, the Commanders, and the Daytona 500, Danny.
Wow.
Which is coming up this weekend.
Here we go.
Here we staunch your engines. Let's get to the Washington Nationals. Andrew Golden covers the team for the Post. West Palm Beach, the site today of more pitchers throwing their first bullpens, including for the first time ever, a Washington Nationals signee direct from Japan. How about them opening up a new market?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And guys came out to Zato was there, but none of us knew what was happening until we looked over at the warning track and we were like, all right, that's really him. So it was really cool. He threw about 40 pitches, and so should be interesting to see how they kind of manage his workload moving forward and how he adjusts coming from Japan. But it was cool to see today.
Andrew, what are your biggest questions that may or may not be answered in spring training?
Yeah, I think my biggest questions are how do the young guys take a step forward? Obviously, James and Dylan are the two that I'm looking at. And then McKenzie in terms of can you take the next step forward to be an ace? I look at some of the questions in terms of position battles, spring, starting pitching, right? Who's going to be in the back end of the rotation? Who's going to play third base? Who's the fourth outfield? So those are some things I'm looking at. And also, are they going to add any guys on minor league deals, any guys they're going to bring in the coming days? They said they want to add in their bullpen. That's actually probably the biggest question, right? The bullpen, I mean, like, they really don't have a ton of experience in their bullpen at the moment. They have a couple of guys, but those are all questions I kind of have right now.
Has C.J. Abrams spoke to the media yet? This is obviously the first week he's been at work since the end of last season when he got in trouble.
Yes, he spoke to us on Wednesday on the first day. We walked up to him, and he said he's ready to move past it and move on. He said it took some time to kind of process everything that happened, but he's ready to just get back to baseball, and that's what Mike Rizzo said yesterday. That's what Dave Martinez said. And so everybody seems to have kind of moved on, and CJ was in camp early, and he seemed to be interacting with his teammates and seemed like he was when he left in September.
There are a couple potential odd men out here in the starting rotation. A lot of times, injuries will take care of everything. It's the unfortunate part about it, but, it's certainly a factor. But there's seven guys by my count right now, Andrew, that either think they're going to be starters or maybe will be starters at some point. How do you see it shaking out?
Yeah, I think the three quote-unquote locks will be Mackenzie Gore, Jake Irvin, and Michael Soroka. I think those last two spots are up for grabs. I think Trevor Williams, given how well he pitched before his injury, I think he would get another shot to be in the rotation. They re-signed him to a 2-year, $14 million deal, so I think they would put him in the rotation. And then that last spot, I think, comes down to DJ Hurz or Mitchell Parker. Mitchell Parker had a great first half and struggled in the second. DJ Hurz was the opposite. He struggled in the first half and was really good in the second half. And so if I had to guess right now, I would say Mitchell Parker, but I could see it really going either way. It's a coin flip.
Burning questions otherwise. I mean, things that you're monitoring, either back of the roster positions that are up for grabs, starting spots, like what do we still need to figure out?
Yeah, third base, it seems like Jose Tena has the inside track for that, but that's interesting to me. The fourth outfield spot, I think you could obviously go with Alex Call, who had some success last year. I don't know how healthy Stone Garrett is, obviously coming off the knee injury, if he's able to play every day. If that fourth outfield spot's interesting, could they add somebody from outside to kind of compete as well? And then the bullpen, they have Jorge Lopez, they have, you know, Colin Poche, but they're pretty inexperienced outside of that. So I'm trying to see what other bullpen arms they have before everything's said and done.
What should our expectations be for Josh Bell?
It depends on which Josh you're getting, right? I know it's not necessarily a great answer, but is it the Josh, you know, Josh can be really streaky, right? So it's like, is he going to be the hitter that we saw in the first half right before he got traded to the Padres? Or are we going to see the Josh Bell that struggled at times during his career? So I'm expecting to have a good year, but I know the Nationals really hope so too. But I was expecting to have a good year this year.
I mean, I guess my follow-up to that would be, like, he is older and coming off of a couple of seasons that haven't quite been at the level of when we last saw him in D.C. Like,
yeah.
Why would there be an expectation that he would get back to hitting, you know, 28, 30 home runs? He's only done that a couple times in his career anyway. More recently, he's been closer to 20 jacks and, you know, a 240 average or something. Like, I would think that's the expectation, and the fact that he only costs $6 million makes that okay.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the expectation is, I mean, like, again, like when you look at the production at first base, you had Joey Meneses who hit, I don't even know if he hit 20 home runs over the next two seasons after his breakout in 2022. So if you got 20 from Josh Bell, like, you would take that, right? Like, I think that'd be a successful season. So that's what I'm expecting from him. I think if you look at some of his stats, his bat speed has slowed down a little bit. And so I think he's not going to be the guy. I don't think he'll be the guy from 2022, but I still think he'd be a productive player who can hit 20, 25 home runs if he has it in him and he plays like, you know, he thinks he can.
What do we expect from Dylan Cruz this year?
I expect him to be a really solid player. I mean, he's going to play right field every day is what Dave Martinez seems to be saying these first couple of days. I expect him to have a good year. I think the big question is just that consistency. He only had like 30 or so games last year. Struggle a little bit with breaking balls, but I think you're going to see a great defender in the field. I'm interested to see what adjustments he makes at the plate, but I think you're going to get a really good player this year, and I think he'll definitely contribute.
Andrew, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, bud.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, hope to see you down at West Palm soon. All right, Danny.
Yep.
We've never talked about NASCAR on the Beltway Blitz before.
That's true.
The Daytona 500 is coming up on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I was driving, and I'm a little psyched for the 500. I'm like, you know what? Let's talk NASCAR on the Blitz. But that means we don't have a sounder.
Oh, right.
So we don't have a guy going like, NASCAR. So instead, let's do that thing where you use the microphone to make it sound like the cars are all driving by.
Oh, yeah, okay.
As the sounder to go into NASCAR.
Okay, so throw to it. Ready?
Ready? Let's talk to my buddy Davey Siegel, SiriusXM, and covering NASCAR all over the place, has his own podcast on NASCAR, a guy that I get my NASCAR information from about racing. Oh, very good. See, that's a good transition.
Yeah, it's not bad, right?
Davey, we are closing in on the 500. So give us some of the key storylines. What new drivers are in new places? What are we monitoring here?
Boys, pleasure to be with you. First of all, that sounder was great. I don't know if it quite sounded like a race car. It may have sounded like something else, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, imagine like a group of angry bees or NASCAR. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that. It's a family program. Grant, there's a lot going on, Danny. Like, we have a lot of change in the NASCAR world right now, especially starting here at Daytona. Chase Briscoe going from Stewart Haas Racing, which is shuttered its doors, to Joe Gibbs Racing. He happens to be on the pole, rolling off P1 for the Great American Race on Sunday. He's got a lot to prove. Shane Van Gisbergen, coming from New Zealand, won his first ever Cup Series race and his first ever Cup Series start a couple of years ago at the Chicago Street Course. He's going to be running a full-time season. And those are just two of the many, many moves. There are tons of new driver crew chief pairings. A lot of people with a lot of things to prove this year, guys. And it all starts at Daytona.
Biggest rivalry that casual fans should pay attention to?
I don't know if there's a legitimate rivalry at the moment in the sport, which is a whole other conversation in amongst itself. But I would keep an eye on Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell. Two young drivers, two very accomplished drivers, two championship threats. Two guys that have raced each other in NASCAR and on dirt for years, honestly decades at this point. And both of them have said that they have immense respect for each other. They love beating one another. And even though they have that respect, they don't really let it get into fisticuffs or dirtiness on the racetrack. They really race each other respectfully, but you can still have a rivalry and keep it tame and respectful on the racetrack. So I'd keep my eye on Larson in the 5 and Bell in the 20 this year.
Davey, how many years? Is it 3 in a row now that Gibbs has replaced a driver, it feels like? Because his guys are getting older, right? He had, I guess it was 3 in the last several years, but specifically Kyle Busch, now Martin Truex. So give us an idea. A lot of our listeners, as you know, Commanders fans, we're Joe Gibbs Redskins fans, of like how JGR stacks up at this point and what kind of year it's going to be for them.
I know you're still a little bit bitter about your boy Erik Jones, Grant. But
still salty.
Yes, I know. I can tell.
He just gets kicked in the shins every which way. Last night, they screwed him over. That's what happens.
I know. I thought of you. I really did.
Thank you.
But to your point, there has been a lot of turnover at Gibbs. Erik Jones was one of many in recent years to kind of get kicked to the curb. Kyle Busch, two-time champion. He went on to different places and pastures, and now Martin Truex Jr. retiring. So Gibbs wanted to keep him, but he kind of wanted to scale back a little bit. There's always been a lot of move in and shake in at any team, but to do it at a team like that, with that championship pedigree, and obviously your listeners know about Joe Gibbs, the same applies to his race team. It has been among the top of the top and one of the giants of motorsports since they got into the business decades ago. So to have all this change and big change in back-to-back-to-back years is a big deal, but they've shown that even though change is kind of frightening at some points, they really are able to take it head on. And that's why we've seen a lot of their drivers contending for championships and in the championship four at the end of the year.
Davey, make a pitch to folks that are, you know, maybe big sports fans, and there's sort of a gap now in the calendar, and NASCAR's going, hey, pay attention to us. Maybe folks that haven't been into it before haven't really watched it.
Like Danny Hoohead.
Like me.
Danny is just so out.
Give me and folks like me your pitch.
Danny, there's a lot going on in the world of NASCAR that you may not understand, but if you pay attention for 2.5 to 3 hours on a good Sunday without rain delays, I really think you'll be intrigued, because it's like a lot of other sports in the way that there are storylines. There are drivers that are better than others skill-wise. There are drivers that are better than others equipment-wise. Whether it's like a stick-and-ball sport, you have a great GM that puts pieces around you, or you got a great head coach who develops a game plan, or you just got a really good player who can take over a game. The same applies in NASCAR. And I'm sure Grant can tell you stories about how Erik Jones has carried a Legacy Motor Club car way further up the running order than they ever have before. So similar to Formula One as well, it's not as dependent on the equipment, but there's races within the race. You know, you could be running for a win, but also somebody like Grant's boy, Erik, a 20th place finish for them sometimes is a good day. So to see him battling for 15th or 10th or even the win last night, that is a huge, huge deal. So small victories all across the field, and also there's just a lot of change, and seeing how these new drivers, teams, crew chiefs adapt to that change, even if you might not know the intricacies of who they are, where they've been, what the deal is, you will learn and pick it up quickly, I promise you. So give it a shot, and if you're not going to stick around for all of Daytona, tune in next week, because Atlanta, it's smaller but faster and honestly a little bit more hectic. So give it a shot. I don't think that you will mistake yourself.
I just love the 500 because it's wide open. Like even the worst cars have a shot theoretically in the Daytona 500. Davey, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, boys. I'm happy to talk NASCAR anytime, especially for your Erik Jones lover, Grant.
We love that. Thank you. There you go, Danny. It was not bad, right? We talked about the Daytona 500.
And everyone knows that I'm a fraud, but it's fine.
And everyone's going to be watching it. Not everyone, but a lot of people are going to be watching it.
What kind of numbers will it do? I'm not joning. I actually don't know.
I have no idea. I will look up what last year's did.
Okay.
And I will give those to you after we talk football. This will be more comfortable for you, Danny.
There we go. I know this group.
Nick Ackridge of PFF. Nick, should the Commanders trade 2 first-round picks and then some for Myles Garrett?
Yeah, I've kind of gone back and forth on this for a while, and I've started to lean towards yes. I just think this level of pass rusher, this level of defensive player just doesn't come around very often. It's going to cost you, but I think the level of this team has already kind of shown that they can get to, you know, one win away from the Super Bowl. I think you go all in, you put all your chips in and go for the best defensive player in the NFL.
Should they be heavily involved in the trade market in general? I mean, obviously, you know, Myles Garrett's kind of a special case. You have to give up a ton. But is this the type of thing where you go, no, let's hoard these draft picks because we're going to have some free agency money to spend? Should they be capitalizing? Like, what should they be majoring in here, Nick?
Yeah, usually I lean on the side of kind of keeping those draft picks. I think keeping those and drafting and developing your own guys is key to any, you know, organization taking a step to the next level. Outside of the Myles Garrett one, that's kind of the only trade that I would really kind of be comfortable with. You know, usually other teams are letting these guys go for a reason. So thinking of like a Cooper Kupp or a Deebo Samuel, it's not something that I would kind of spend capital on, even though it would probably not be as high as obviously as Myles Garrett. But I just don't think that level of player is really going to do much for you. When I think that you can kind of spend that on some draft picks and then focus your money on free agency.
Nick, tell me I'm wrong, but I would imagine that you would be okay with Cooper Kupp or Deebo Samuel if those guys are released and then could sign with Washington on new deals.
Yeah, I think if like you said, if they are released, I think you definitely take a nice solid look at it. I mean, Cooper Kupp is not really the same player he's been the past couple of years. I haven't really watched too much of Deebo, but something was a little bit off this past year, but I think he could fit in pretty nicely in, you know, Cliff Kingsbury's offense. So I think you definitely take a look at them if they're, you know, if they make their way to free agency.
Assuming they don't trade for Myles Garrett and have their full allotment of picks, what positions do you say you should probably try to fill those through the draft? And what positions do you go free agency or otherwise?
That's tough because I do think that, you know, it's weird saying this about a team that just came off of a conference championship appearance, but I still think there's a ton of holes on this team. And I think that they should be looking in the draft to go best player available. Whether that is wide receiver or edge defender, the draft is loaded with defensive line talent. So you can see them sort of doing that. But if you get one of those wide receivers that kind of fall towards, you know, their pick, you know, someone like Ibuka or, you know, Matthew Golden from Texas, I think that's kind of where you would go. I like drafting wide receivers. I think that's kind of where you get the best value from them. And then I think you can kind of pick and choose on the free agency market when it comes to defensive players, like we saw them do last year.
Nick, what are your hottest takes on the free agents to be for the Commanders in terms of guys that you think maybe they should try to bring back and shouldn't?
I think – I don't know how hot of a take this is, but I think that Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz, if they are, you know, willing to play another year, I think they got to be must re-signs. I think what Zach Ertz did for Jaden Daniels this past year was you know, it was just perfect. It was a perfect fit. He's still so good at route running, even though he's not the most athletic tight end. He's still one of the best tight ends at getting open against man coverage or zone coverage. And I think Bobby Wagner is still playing some fantastic defense, especially in the run game. He saved a lot of issues on that defensive line. He's not the same as he was in coverage. We've all kind of seen that. But his leadership and what he can do in the run game, I think, is really important. So if they're willing to come back, I would be very, very into re-signing him.
Nick, thank you, buddy.
Yeah, appreciate it. You guys have a good one.
That's Nick Akridge of PFF, and that's our Beltway Blitz. Last year, 6 million people watched the Daytona 500.
That's the number I found, too, yeah.
3 million on average watched races each weekend,
mm-hmm.
which is a huge number when you compare it to some other sports. I mean, that outdraws a lot of standalone NBA games, as
100%
an example.
100% does, yeah.
So, look, anything's going to be dwarfed by the NFL, and I think compared to maybe its wheelhouse 10, 15 years ago, it's down. There's only so much of it I can get into and have the patience for. Like, I'm just not going to be tracking it during the week and listening to podcasts that the drivers have or anything. But I find the broadcast, I've told you this before, fascinating television. And this is like the broadcast nerd in me, but the features that they have, they do this, like Mike, I think it's called like Turn It Up feature, where for like 3 minutes, nobody talks. And you just hear all natural sounds.
Yeah, the sound's amazing.
You're listening to motors, and you're listening to cars fly by doing your boom, 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 boom. And like that for like 90 straight seconds is amazing. It's just an intoxicating experience for the senses in a lot of ways of like the visuals and what you're seeing. Also, I don't know how to say it otherwise, but with the quality of television now in high definition and the sun glistening off these cars or at night, the lights off these cars, they just look badass. And they're flying around and, you know, being there, I've only been at a couple races ever.
Yeah, same.
And I'm not a mark enough to go to them. But I will tell you that, like, the experience is just, it is amazing with the smells and the sights and the sounds.
I really believe this. If you're a sports fan, you should go. I can't watch on television.
Also,
I just kind of can't do it.
People watching is just a show.
It's incredible.
I mean, the people that are there are some of the most hilarious people that you're ever going to interact with.
Yeah, and I don't know how to describe this better than this. You can feel the sound. Like, it's obviously beyond loud. It's different than anything else that you're ready for. But you can, when that car zips around the turn and it looks like it's not going that fast, and then it goes by you in the blink of an eye, you can, there's a wave of sound that hits you. You can actually, like, feel it on your skin. That's totally unique. So I get that.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. Next, the quarterback carousel is already spinning, and it's only Valentine's Day. Let's go through some of the QB news of the week next on G&D.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. Welcome back. Thank you for making this show part of your day. We know you've got lots of options. In 30 minutes, Ebony Payne is going to join us. Ebony Payne is the commissioner of the Neighborhood Alliance over at the RFK site. She was at the meeting with Muriel Bowser and the Ward 7 council member.
Yes.
Can't remember his name. I apologize. That were talking to everybody, the locals over by RFK who live in that neighborhood, about why the stadium would be great, not only for them, but for D.C. We want to talk to Ebony Payne about that. So I did catch up with her. You'll hear that interview coming up in about 30 minutes right here on The Fan. But not surprisingly, Danny, the majority of the people who live hyper-locally right there at the RFK site area do not want an NFL stadium.
Yeah, it's not what they signed up for. You know, they moved into a neighborhood. The property is this, and it's this is what's close, and this is, you know, kind of what they moved into. And it didn't look like that was going to happen. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, hey, we're going to drop a stadium right here. We'd like to get rid of this eyesore and have a whole bunch of different things that serve their needs 24/7, 365, not just you and me and a couple of fans that might come in three, four, five, six, seven times a year.
And that's something that I have a hard time with a little bit, is this idea of, well, let's do these other things. If not for the idea of the stadium, that land never would have really gone back to D.C. It's not like anyone was getting that done before Josh Harris and the Commanders and all of the powerful people that want to see a stadium there made it happen via the Hail Mary, via years of effort.
Yeah, Eleanor Holmes Norton can write a stern letter all she wants. Without the impetus of, hey, we probably will use this for a stadium, it may not have come back.
Now, that does not mean that people should not be advocating for good use of that land and for the best possible use for the city. So it's time to start advocating. But I do think we should at least call a ball, and a strike, a strike. The only reason that land is now DC's to do anything with is because of the fight that was had to try to get the stadium back to DC, and that this is a formality to getting that done, or at least a precursor, a early step for doing that. So I just think that's a reality.
Yeah, that's a valid point. In an ideal world, it wouldn't be, but we don't live in that.
No way.
You know, like,
I mean, but we saw the politics of
it.
Even with all the money and all the people and all the time and the energy for all the commanders and the billionaires and the politicians, it still almost didn't happen. It still almost fell through because of essentially one tweet with bad information from Elon Musk, and the whole thing was about to crash into the ground, and then you got the Hail Mary on the back end that saved it while we were all sleeping in the middle of the night a couple days later. I still don't really know how or why.
I don't either.
But God bless whatever happened and changed. But we'll get into all that at 5 o'clock. Let's talk quarterbacks and spin you around the NFL on G&D with some news of the last few days at the QB position. So let's start with Trevor Lawrence. There was a report yesterday that has been mostly shot down by reporters as not completely being true. So I don't know the complete details. Could be completely fabricated, but I'm sure you saw that there was this story that the Steelers tried to call the Jaguars to trade for Trevor Lawrence. The Jaguars, I guess, would have, in this story, said, no, thank you, we're not interested. But it does bring up this on Lawrence. He's now about to work with Liam Cohen, the former Tampa Bay Bucks offensive coordinator who did wonders for Baker Mayfield this year. Do we think he's in line for a big leap forward? Remember, Dave Canales, who worked with Mayfield, everybody thought was going to have a chance to go to Carolina and help Bryce Young. And by the end of the year, Bryce Young was playing really good football. Could Trevor Lawrence make a leap? That's what Doug Peterson was supposed to do.
Yeah.
For a year, it looked like he was headed in that direction, and then that came crashing down.
Yeah. We've got 3 years that are pedestrian or worse out of four for Trevor Lawrence.
What are his numbers like the last few years?
They're always
worse than I thought they were going to be.
11-7 for a 2-8 team through 10 games with an injury.
What do you mean 11-7?
11 touchdowns, 7 picks.
What year was that?
This is 2024, the most recent year we have.
Did he really?
Yeah.
And how many games?
10.
That's awful.
Yep.
Yards per game?
We're looking at a 204.
So 17, that's a 3,400-yard season. That's brutal.
Yeah.
Last year.
The year before.
I feel like it was like 25 tutties.
21 touchdowns, 14 picks.
That's not good.
Correct.
How many yards?
4,016.
In 16 games?
Yeah.
All right, so he made plays. There were yards down the field. He also runs the ball a little bit. But my God, that offense stunk. They couldn't score.
And again, how much do you fault him? Because the pedigree is as good as they've ever been, right? He's up there with Andrew Luck and some of these guys that were so bona fide. You're sitting there while he's playing for the national championship as a freshman going, when can this guy just come out in the draft, please? Like, yeah. He has been the number one pick for years and years and years and years. 2 years ago, 2022, when they had that comeback win against the Chargers and he was awesome in the postseason, you go, okay, year one was garbage because of Urban Meyer. It was unserious.
So this was Doug Peterson.
Yeah, so this is year one Doug Peterson. Here we go. Here's the rocket ship taking off. 25 touchdowns, 8 picks, 4,100 yards and change. Really, really good.
By the way, that's solid. That's good. That's not like Pro Bowl, All Pro. I mean, that's 10 touchdowns away from being impressive. What's impressive about it is that it's a 3-to-1 TD to interception ratio.
But it's okay. Given the year before, how disastrous it was, right? You go, okay, here we go.
What was the year before?
That was 12 touchdowns, 17 picks as a rookie.
My God.
Yeah. So this is kind of the drum I've been beating. There's a lot of excuse very easily built into Trevor Lawrence in his situation.
Understand.
Totally a thing. I get it. Not the best surroundings, unserious ownership, coaching has been bad, et cetera, et cetera. That's the first sentence. The second sentence, are we sure he's good? Like, how sure are we he's a dude?
He is good, but if you're talking about really good, like top 10 in the league, potentially good.
Well, let me rephrase
it. No, we're not sure.
How sure are we that the Jaguars should have just hung up the phone on the Steelers? That's kind of what I mean. Like, are we going, like, if someone called me about Jaden Daniels, I'd go, that's adorable. Lose my number.
So if that actually happened, and we don't know that it did, because, again, Tom Pelissero and other reporters have said it didn't. But in a world where the Steelers called the Jaguars, I would absolutely take that call. I would say, if this ever gets out, we'll never do business with you again, and I'm going to tell everyone you're lying. But what are you offering? Like that's right. Kind of how the conversation would go. My thing, as you know, is I need you to have enough good with the bad early in your career, and he definitely has. Like, Trevor Lawrence has had enough good moments. There's a starter kit there that intrigues me. And I'll tell you something else, Danny Ruye. And in fact, I'll do an impression of you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. Danny Ruye.
Have you ever done this before?
No.
Okay.
This is new.
All right. Oh, I see. I fell for it. Danny, wake up, man.
Ryan Thomas Jr. Ryan Thomas. Who's this Brian Thomas Jr. guy going into his second year in Jackson? You sleep.
I'm sure.
Toby sleeps.
I'm sure.
And Darius definitely sleeps on Brian.
Well, he doesn't
Thomas
play for the
Jr.
Texans, so Darius does sleep.
That's a good point. Yeah. Toby's probably traded for him in Madden. Nobody trades for more receivers in Madden, I don't think, than Toby.
With Spencer Rattler as quarterback. No wonder he's leaving the league, am I right?
By the way, can we trade for a quarterback? Spencer Rattler in that screen grab was his quarterback. I forgot to mention that.
I've been waiting for a chance to bring it up.
Didn't your starter get hurt, in fairness? He was your backup. I don't think he's your QB1.
I had Michael Penix Jr., and he got hurt, so yes, I had a better quarterback.
Do we not have a quarterback plan? Who are you, the Falcons? You're just rolling with Penix in a big spot? All right, I digress. Point of the dude's story is, stop sleeping on Brian Thomas. That is an elite. I'm talking potential top five wide receiver in football in the next few years.
Here's my
neighbors, who Jaden Daniels played with. One of the other reasons why I was really nervous about Jaden Daniels is because when you watched it, he's just throwing to wide open guys all the time. He played with two guys that might be top 10 wide receivers by the end of this football season.
So here's my only one other counter for Trevor Lawrence. If it wasn't for the pedigree, we would think of him much differently. Like, these are Sam Howell type numbers that he's been putting up over the last several seasons. And because he was number one overall, pick number one, he still gets more benefit of the doubt than maybe he should. Again, I think there's something there. I'm with you. But he's got a lot more. He's been the benefit of a lot more patience than a lot of guys would get.
New head coach in New Orleans, Kellen Moore, was asked about Derek Carr. He was non-committal, said he's excited to work with him, but wasn't willing to go on the record and say he would definitely be the starter. I didn't realize that the Saints can really easily get out of Derek Carr's contract now.
I didn't either.
In fact, something had to have changed at some point in terms of like dead money or the restructuring that they did. Because maybe it was just that it was never up until this year that it became, you know, this crazy and easy to get out of. It was always much worse, I should say. But like Derek Carr, I saw somewhere yesterday, and I got to look these numbers up. You could get out of his deal for $10 million in dead money. Let's see. Carr, 4-year, $150 million, $28.5 million signing bonus. No. I'm seeing $50 million in dead money because of the heavy guarantees in his contract. So what did I read last night? This is great
radio. there was an off ramp somewhere.
Yeah, so basically what I saw, and maybe it's wrong because now I'm up on the contract site and I'm seeing the $50 million tag again. But essentially that they could get out of the deal and it would only cost them like $5 million this year, $10 million next year, something like that. And that number would go down a ton.
Interesting. Hard for me to figure that out unless there was some sort of difference. It looks like two mega awful cap hits with like a, you know, whatever it is, like $50 million dead cap over two seasons.
Yeah, because even post June 1, I'm looking at a $51 million.
Mm-hmm.
Dead cap it. So forget everything I just said. They can't get out of that contract.
Yeah, I think they're stuck.
Easily.
And that's kind of the point is that New Orleans has kicked the can down the road for a while. They weren't very well built kind of even at the end of the Drew Brees time there, which has now been a handful of years. If you think back to it, they were old, bloated salaries, bloated contracts. They kind of did a thing where we go, we can't get a superstar. Let's get someone good enough. Derek Carr entered the picture to try to kind of keep this thing afloat. They've been in cap hell for a while. They need to just wear it for a season or two. Like, that's a tough job right now.
I don't know who's going to want Aaron Rodgers. What kind of fit is out there? What team? I mean, if you're a Super Bowl contender, I guess maybe, although that's what the Jets thought they were when they went and got him.
Roll those dice.
Also, he didn't play well last year, so the current contender doesn't make as much sense as it once did. A rebuilding team, why would you pay an old guy that much money? I'm having a hard time. I don't mean coming up with a team. I mean coming up with a type of a team. Like, who and why is in the business of Aaron Rodgers right now? I don't know that he changes your culture in some positive, awesome, great way, right? Like, what am I missing?
Yeah, maybe you buy it. In other words, like the Hard Knocks Aaron Rodgers, who was on his best behavior, you go, man, maybe that guy's misunderstood. Like, he was awesome.
That's,
you know, telling the guys in the huddle, like, the quarterback's like, hey, make sure when you go to lunch today, sit with a bunch of people you don't know that well. That's part of the job. Leadership, there's no off switch. You know, making sure other guys got shine. And he was the teammate's teammate. He was great. Maybe you fall for it for a honeymoon thing where the guy with a chip on his shoulder because of how badly he went in New York. Maybe. But, I mean, to me, this is such a bad draft for quarterback that someone's going to be left out with the game of musical chairs, and maybe you have to turn to the devil you understand.
Rumblings that Matt Stafford could be traded by the Rams. I don't see that. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. This is mostly in my opinion because his wife, who does a podcast, seems very upset that they're getting rid of Cooper Kupp and has apparently suggested that he's also upset and has kind of floated this idea of, yeah, we love the Rams,
but
we want to be where we're happy. And I think you're happy in LA probably at the end of the day. Him and McVay have a good relationship. This isn't a Jared Goff situation. So I don't see Matt Stafford going anywhere. I think he finished his career with the Rams. But that's one of the big storylines the last few days in the quarterback carousel.
Yeah. Are the Rams just going to rip the Band-Aid off and be bad for a little while? Like, what's the plan if it's not Matt Stafford? Like, that's my question is, I could see you moving on from an aging veteran a year early. Okay. Well, then what? What are you going to do?
15 minutes away from talking about the RFK site with someone who's responsible for what happens on that site. You're listening to Grant and Danny. It is Valentine's Day, and here on the Grant and Danny radio program, we've got a couple of eligible bachelors producing our show.
We do, yeah.
Darris Dameron and Toby Altizer. So we figured we would put them through what we're going to call the Bachelor Combine, Danny.
Yeah, with the NFL Combine coming up, prospects like Travis Hunter and Cam Ward and company will show their wares, try out basically for NFL teams to draft them. We're going to do the same thing.
We're going to give them a grade, a round grade. So, no, what round would we take them in as a prospect to be dated at this point?
Yeah.
So I want to first get a prediction from them to see what round they think that they would be drafted in and what they're kind of gunning for in terms of our analysis. So, Toby, what kind of grade would you give yourself? What round would you anticipate to be drafted in a boyfriend draft?
Undraftable. I would be frankly thrilled if I were invited to the combine and even considered as an option. So,
wow.
I appreciate that I'm available today to go through the combine.
Tobes, why is our self-esteem so low?
Oh, self-esteem isn't low. I just understand that I'm not the most exciting person in the world, and I'm totally fine with that.
But I don't think you need to be exciting to be a suitable bachelor.
Yeah, but if you're in your early 20s, as Tobias Funke is, Maybe there needs to be, like, at my age, I'm not exciting at all, but that's par for the course here.
No, he makes a good point. Like, how old are you, Toby?
I'm 26.
A 26-year-old lady, girl, woman.
Person.
They want to go out. They want to go do things. They want to go have fun. And Toby wants to be at home watching sport or playing video game. Is that fair, Toby?
Maybe a sport video game.
Yeah, that's very fair.
I think you're going to age well, though. Like, I think in 7-8 years, you're exactly what a girl's going to be looking for.
Yeah, right? And that, I mean, that might be the time frame for our next date, so.
Good Lord. I'm starting to rethink this idea. Should we not?
Okay. So what questions do you have for Toby? So let's start with this.
Mm-hmm.
What would be, if you had to set up a date with a young lady for this weekend, where would you take her? What would you do?
We would go to a nice restaurant.
Nice meaning, give me an idea of what that is, what that looks like.
I was thinking a little higher than your regular chain, but okay. Not too crazy. We're not going, we're spending at least $20+, not more than 30 or 40, but probably somewhere in the 20 range.
That's going to be tough to find.
20 to 40 range.
I could get you some of the meals on the Great American Restaurant menus.
Yeah, there's a certain spot I have in mind. We're not calling out necessarily specific organizations, but there's a spot I have in mind.
Give me the spot. What are you looking for?
Medium rare.
Oh, okay. Meat with a little steak.
Okay, yeah.
They do the thing where like you're done eating and then they bring you another plate.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. Yeah, right.
One appetizer each.
Little steak fritz. It's
very good.
Many dates with the wife there. I think it's a great choice, Tobes. All right, so we're going to medium rare, and then what are we doing after?
Maybe go grab some ice cream somewhere.
Oh,
ice cream.
That's
very nice.
That's
maybe even some cookies and cream.
Great idea.
That can be any cookie and any ice cream. How could you decide?
No, it's vanilla and Oreo.
Every time it is?
Apparently.
Did you learn that?
All right, so then, Toby, are we any nightcap? Are we going out somewhere? Or are we just dropping her back off and thanking her for her time?
Dropping her off and saying goodnight and then going home.
Okay.
Respectfully, I like it. Several questions, rapid fire, if you're ready.
Sure.
Would you ask her what she felt like in terms of eating?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. That is a mistake, what she feels like. Okay. she texts you first. How long do you take to text her back?
I'll be reasonable. I'm always on my phone, so I am a quick texter backer.
But do you do the thing like with Clary's, like, I can't text for 2 days? It's
no.
Any of that nonsense.
No games.
I'm not playing games. It's not worth my time. So I will maybe give it more than like 3 minutes, like I would respond to you guys, but I'll, an hour.
You and I are on dating apps together. We have matched.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is up to you to respond.
The first time on a dating
first.
App.
Right. I'm just saying, it's your turn.
You've never been on a dating app.
No.
Why not?
I have no interest.
So are you interested in dating anyone? That's an important question.
That was going to be my follow-up there.
I would, sure.
But how are you actively seeking it, or are you kind of just hoping she accidentally walks into your house?
Like if she's in the Madden League?
Like going to your neighbor's house for a cookout, and she accidentally comes into your house, and you fall in love that way?
Or like, I'm not wandering into establishments looking for love, if that's what you're asking.
Okay.
I'm kind of living my life.
What effort are you putting in? I mean, is there any, or are you just kind of... If it happens, it happens, but I'm not going to be the aggressor.
I'm kind of walking down the path, and if I spot something, then we'll have a conversation.
Okay.
Okay.
And you're a go-up-and-talk-to-a-girl kind of guy.
Not really.
Yeah, I was going to say there's another.
So then we're not going to have a conversation.
Correct.
Okay.
All right, so hypothetically, you and I have matched, and it's your turn to give the opening line. What do you say?
Oh, great. Hello?
Okay, hello.
I'm trying to think. I don't know.
Just putting that in my notes.
It's going to have to be better than hello.
Hello.
I'm just trying to think. It would have to be something like, I don't know, man. I've never been on a dating app.
I got you. Yeah, no problem. No issues there.
It's not really.
And also, you might have to do something based on her account or whatever.
So she says, I can't go out to dinner, but I'd like to do something fun this weekend, maybe during the daytime. What would you plan?
During the daytime. I would like a little mini golf.
Oh, very nice. I like that. Mini golf.
I think mini golf would be fun.
Mini golf.
It's a good date. It's a little cold right now.
Quality date.
Well, yeah, right now, mini golf would not be on the
You could probably
table,
find one of those mini golfs inside.
Yeah, or we could, go bowling or something
of
that
nature.
It's
golf balls at the Top Golf at Rudy's, whatever.
And, what's your pitch to her if she goes, Toby, why are you a good boyfriend material for me. What would you say to sell yourself? Please do a little better job than you did at the start of the segment.
I'm very loyal. I'm not loyal. Going to...
You're not going to cheat on her.
No, okay. I'm not going to.
Loyalty.
I am someone that is incredibly passionate about what I care about. And if you become the person that I care about, I'll be incredibly passionate about you.
It's a great selling
that's a
point.
Good, that's a good sell.
That's a good line.
That just bumped him up a little bit for me.
Are you good at talking to females? Because generally I'd say you have EQ. You're the kind of guy that blends in, you know, whatever room you're in. I'd imagine like parents of your friends like you. Are you the kind of guy that if you got to a situation where you and a young lady are at a dinner table, and I understand you're saying it has not happened in a little while, but
sure.
If that happened, could you?
I could have a conversation. Okay. We'd have to have something in common, obviously, but yeah, I could have a conversation.
As you and this young lady, hypothetically, are engaging in conversation back and forth, and she's, you know, just telling life story and shares some details slightly about an ex, and it may not have ended particularly well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you also share details about an ex where things didn't end particularly well? To sort of make common ground, or is it something different? Different strategy there.
I would probably pass on that.
Uh-huh.
I would probably pass.
Well done.
That's very good.
All right. Last one for me. You said it's been a while since you've been on a date.
Yes.
How long has it been since you were on a good formal date?
That's years.
Okay.
Years.
We got to get our guy back in the game here.
I don't know. I don't know, Grant.
Okay.
I can't give you exact timeline.
All right.
Do you have any pictures of you on a mountaintop?
No.
Okay. Do you have any pictures of you next to an exotic animal?
Yes.
Okay.
Does a kangaroo count as exotic?
Yes, it does. Exotic animal picture. Those are big draws on the dating apps.
How many dates before you would go in for a kiss goodnight?
Ooh.
Mm.
And do you ask for permission first?
We're going to have to feel it out. I'm going to lean on minimum of three.
Third date?
Third date,
gentlemen.
Third date, gentlemen.
I've got my grade for Toby.
I have a grade.
Danny, what are you giving him?
It's a fourth-round prospect.
Fourth round?
It's a fourth-round prospect
for me. You're three in, my guy?
It's a fourth-round prospect.
Oh, my goodness.
There's upside here. There are things to work with here.
Okay.
Respectfully, it's not a day one guy.
He's a project.
Yeah. This is not probably not in the middle of day two. This is the start of day three to me. There's something to work with here.
Call me the Ron Rivera era Redskins because I'm taking Tobes late second, early third.
It really is? Okay.
I'm giving Toby, I'm going to give him a late two grade.
Late two.
Late two.
Late two.
You heard what I said, late two.
Late two.
I think the loyalty thing is huge.
Mm.
He is a mensch. I personally know this guy. I swear by this guy. This is a late two grade.
He opened with hello.
He's young and 26.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a young 26.
Second round grade, late second, early third is where I'm at. We'll give Darius his grade later in the show.
Mm-hmm.
We got to put him. I'm sure he's excited to be on the hot seat.
He can't wait.
After hearing that Q&A with Toby.
Giving the break signal so fast.
Ebony Payne is joining us next. She's one of the folks that's going to help make the decision on locally whether people are going to buy in on wanting the stadium at RFK. That's next on Grant and Danny.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.